the email, but there is upcoming men's breakfast weekend after Father's Day, 25th, I believe it is. I just want to invite the men out. Good time of food, fellowship, and the Word. Let's have a word of prayer for the children. Father God, we just pray that you would be with our children, Lord. Have your hands upon them, Lord. Help them soak up your Word. And also, Lord, be with the teachers as they guide them. We thank you, God. We thank you so much for the teachers, Lord. Lord, for their studies during the week as they prep and come together here with our children to guide them and show them in your Word. And we pray you bless their time in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In your bulletins, there is an outline there for you to follow along. You'll see that it says part one on the outline, but not in the bulletin because it was not the plan. I did plan on squeezing it in, but no matter how I sliced the bread, it was a big loaf of bread, and there was not we weren't going to be able to squeeze it in a little bit of time here. So I thought I wanted to get you out by one, so I cut it in half, so we should be able to do 12. Does that work for you guys? So be strengthened. I am just excited. I get really excited about expositing the Word of God. I enjoy it, but I also have a sweet reverence. Because as we discuss these verses, the one thing I don't want to do to any of you is skip something that would touch your soul, that would add to you this day, something that you could carry on from here to eternity. But I also don't want to guide you or show you anything that's not correct, because that would be even worse for my soul, my being. For I will have to give an answer for every word I say. I think of those pastors that have been doing this for 30, 40 years. It's a lot of words that we're going to have to go over when we get to heaven. But it is important that we remember, as we go to the Word of God, that we do this not just flippantly, but we take it seriously. But so today is be strengthened. We will see Paul, here he is again, one chapter over. Understand that there's the chapters and verses are not in the beginning. They were just letters. So to me, it's like not even halfway through this letter, Paul again is reminding Timothy to be strengthened. He's going to repeat this over and over through the letter. Remember back in chapter 1, verse 6, he told Timothy to fan that flame within him. Get this thing going. Get it. Don't be just an ember in the fire. Fan that flame. Get it going. To me, and as we studied and we went through the overview, we know there was some tough times Timothy was facing. He was going through some tough times, and even worse times were on their way. Persecution was on the rise. Apostasy was just rampant. People were showing up in the services, causing problems in the services. Paul needed to emphasize to Timothy that he needed himself to be strengthened, to lean on the Word of God, to get ready. And then we'll see today is also to put good men around him. You see, even when Jesus picked his disciples, he didn't pick a disciple. He picked a group of men. And those men stuck it out together. And you see, even when he selected Paul, it wasn't very long before Paul was in the ministry that he picked men to put right around himself. Never do we see, even from as we're studying in Genesis, God did not make Adam and leave him by himself. He gave him Eve. God wants us to be together. He wants us to work together. Not because that's where the power in, but is because we're flesh, folks. We're flesh, and the flesh is weak. And the flesh needs someone to talk to. The flesh needs someone to as we looked at last week, Onesiphorus, he refreshed Paul. I mean, I just think about it. Paul's a man. I mean, he doesn't need refreshing, you know? I mean, he said that Onesiphorus, we don't even know what he did. I mean, doesn't say usually he brought a cloak, he brought his letters. He doesn't even say he brought anything. He just showed up. There he is, refreshing Paul, is making him be able to say, you know what, I fought this fight, I'm good. I'm going to lose my head, that's okay. And so we saw that in our memory verse a while back in 2 Timothy 1:7, that God did not give us the spirit of fear, right? He didn't want Timothy becoming timid. Don't be worried about these things. You know, they're coming, they're there. There's problems, but don't forget that God's giving you the spirit of power, of love, and of self-control. And we just sang that last song, the power that rose Jesus from the dead resides in us. I mean, he says that right there in Scripture. He says, Paul, listen, he's not expecting you to lean on the flesh. He's not expecting you to lean on your brother to get the ministry done. That power is given to you. It's just to help. And so we see that we'll go through here, verses 1 through 7, and we'll give four examples. And that's just where I split it up. We see a teacher, a soldier, an athlete, and a farmer. Today we will focus in on the teacher and soldier. Next week, we'll do an athlete and a farmer. Okay, so if those who can stand, please stand with me. We can dive into the scriptures here. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. What you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Father God, we ask, Lord, we cry out to you now. God, please allow me only to say the words that you once said. And Lord, we just ask, as we look into your word, as we look into this mirror, please show us what we need to change. And God, may we not walk away from this mirror with the same things on our face. May we become more fully developed followers of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You may be seated. So first there, we're going to dive in. We saw that in verse 1, he says, "You then, my child," again, the tenderness of Paul to Timothy, calling him his child. He was, without a doubt, Timothy was one of his converts, one of those that he had led. We know that he led also Timothy's mom and his grandma. But he then, after that little tenderness, hits him with, "Be strengthened. Be strengthened, Timothy. And not to do this strengthening on your own, but by the grace that is in Christ Jesus." To me, that's just so amazing. You think about if you were to send someone out to do something, and you told them, "Listen, this is what you got to get on the way. This is what you got to figure out. These are the things you need to collect." It's a lot of work. Christ is telling us, "I need you to go out and tell the world, teach, preach the gospel. But I will give you the power. I will give you the words. I will give you people." I mean, you really think about it. I mean, everything's there. It's all there. It's perfectly supplied for us. We just need to go. And it says in verse 2, "What you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses." We see that Timothy, he constantly, which is good for all of us, is that I can't remember. I think it was Ravi that brought it up, that we need to not be so focused on the past that we just dwell on it, but we also cannot have amnesia, because it is the past that will teach us what to do in the future. Honestly, if we look back, we like to remember, you know, this nation was great and they did all these things, but also those men were faithful men of God. Okay, they made sure they had words of prayer. There was times when they came together for Congress that they didn't get off the Word of God. They had to delay. Imagine that? Imagine not being on C-SPAN. Sorry, but they got together today. It's late because they haven't stopped reading their Bibles. A lot of people are like, what? I mean, they just couldn't get started because one guy starts speaking, you wouldn't believe what I got this week. And they said, oh, you wouldn't believe what I got. And here they're going about the Word of God. They were just faithful men of the Word. So those are things that are important. And he says, listen, remember what I said in the presence of many witnesses. So that's a twofold thing to me. To me, it's making Timothy remember back what Paul said. But it's also, he's saying, remember I said this, and many other people are around us. Remember that what I said when there was the laying on of hands. When we prayed over you, there was tears shed. Men were serious. We came together. We knew that this is going to be tough. We said these things. We said things are going to get tough. But also, Timothy can also look back and remember, you know what? I'm not alone. I may feel alone right now. I may look around this church and say, God, I don't see one that's going to help me. But Timothy can remember back all those witnesses. He can remember the stories that they shared of works that they did. Paul's telling him, listen, remember this and the many witnesses, and these things we need to entrust to faithful men. So to me, right there, we see first off, we're entrusting this to faithful men. We need teachers. Number one, we need a teacher. William Barclay comments this, and I'll say it to you twice here. The teacher is a link in the living chain which stretches from unbroken from this present moment back to Jesus Christ. The glory of teaching is that it links the present with the earthly life of Jesus Christ. I'll say it again. The teacher is a link in the living chain which stretches unbroken from this present moment back to Jesus Christ. The glory of teaching is that it links the present with the earthly life of Jesus Christ. Isn't that, I mean, that's perfect. That's what we're supposed to do as teachers. As Sunday school teachers, as teachers of our children, as teachers of our community, as teachers anywhere we go, that the sole purpose is that we should be a living chain attaching folks back to Jesus Christ. I mean, folks, we see that Paul told Timothy in verse 13, chapter 1, he said, listen, follow the pattern of sound words that you've heard from me. And he's saying, listen, Timothy, follow what I've told you. Follow what I've done. I mean, to me, this is the most powerful thing a teacher can say. Too often we see teachers say that this is what you should be doing. And they themselves aren't doing it. That's the issue we have in America today, is that so many men are preaching the Word of God, sharing the Word of God, but they themselves don't carry the convictions of the Word of God. So then, in essence, there's no chain going back to Christ. See, this is how the teachers are able to press on. These are how the teachers don't get burnt out. These are how teachers just thrive on what they're doing. They get this excitement, this joy, because they themselves are only taking these children, they're taking the adults, they're taking these people around them and bringing them back to Christ. I mean, like I've joked in the past, and I plagiarize every sermon, right? I take it right from here. I mean, it's right here. If you don't believe what I say, you don't believe what we're teaching, you just go back to the Word. And I pray that you do all week long. That you're going back to say, all right, did Pastor Jesse, what he said, is that true? Is that verse that he shared, is that correct? Did he change the words? Did he do anything? I want to make sure that what I'm saying. Honestly, folks, I do my best every week to re-listen to this sermon. To listen to what I said, how I said things. Because not because I want to be eloquent, because the chances of that are slim to none. My wife helps me so much with my speech. The things I say, she's like, oh, honey, why do you say, that's not even a word, you know? But you understand me, that's okay. I'm keeping the cookies low, right? Marianne, I'm keeping the cookies low so we can all reach them here, you know? Not saying you guys need low cookies, but I'm just saying. Let's keep going here before I dig myself a hole. It's not enough for Timothy, all right, to just have tools. Paul's saying, listen, you've got the tools. Fan the flame in you. You've got tools. You've got the power. Okay, you say, well, All right, I've accepted Christ. I know I have this relationship with Christ, but I can't go out and do these things. Well, that makes no sense at all. Because see, the thing is, you have the tools. You have the power. The importance is how you use them. You know, we could go through different analogies and try to think, but if you use a tool wrong, you may get the job done. But it's going to be harder. And why did Christ give Timothy these gifts? Why did Christ give him these gifts? So that he could have a good business? Did Christ give him these gifts so that he could bring glory to himself? No, the whole reason God gave Timothy these gifts, and we see that there is a special gift about Timothy, that God, when the laying on of hands happened, when that occurred, the Holy Spirit gave him a specific gift, this gift of teaching that Timothy has that was greater than those around him. That's why, and Paul saw that. It was evident. It was obvious. God was working in this young man's life. But the emphasis is that Paul says you need to, like Barclay said, you need to be a chain going back to Christ. You need to make sure that everything you say and do goes back to Christ. Don't receive glory. Don't let that go to your mind. Someone this week shared a pastor, and I can't give him the credit because I don't remember which one it was, but he shared about Corrie Ten Boom. And most of you would know who she is. Survival of the Holocaust, what she did, a Christian woman, spoke around, very well known. And someone asked her once, how do you do this? How do you, so many people just in awe of you. And she shared that you just collect roses. The praises and the compliments during the day, to her, the roses. I hold them, I put them together in a bouquet, and at the end of the day, I get on my knees and I say, "Here, Father, these were yours all along. I just held them for you." That's how she was able to, one, stay where folks could look at her and say, how does this woman stay humble? How does she not allow the constant uplifting for her to become prideful? Because she recognized that none of that was hers. None of it was hers. She directly connected that. She was a chain. She's just saying, you know what, I'll hold on to them, but I'm going to go home and I'm going to give them back to exactly who they belong to. Now, don't misunderstand me when I say that, you know, if Timothy, you know, folks, listen, if you don't live the right life, souls are going to go to hell because of you. I believe our God is greater than that. Okay? I know He is. But you know what? Honestly, questions like that frustrate me. Because why do we think like that? Why is that even an option in your mind? Honestly, I mean, you say, Christ came to this earth and died for you. He left heaven for you. We came to this communion table to remember what He went through for you. And all He wants in return, He gives you eternity in heaven. He wants you to live this short life. And trust me, folks, I know it seems like it goes a long time. You have children, it seems like it goes faster, but it's not that long. If you picture this rope that goes on for eternity, we've just got this little few inches here we're holding on to. To me, it's the thought of even saying that because of me, I can't do this, I need to step away. That shouldn't be an option. It should always be pressing forward, pressing on, digging deeper, wanting more. Why did Christ leave and send us the Holy Spirit? It said in Acts 1:8, "But you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth." When did they go out and do this? After they received the power. God said, "Listen, I want you to be my witnesses. I want you to go out, but wait. I will give you the power." Why did God give us the Holy Spirit? So that we could just have good lives, so that we could have this perfect joy and peace and just sit here in our own little world. The whole reason for the Holy Spirit was so that you would have the words to say when you go out and tell others about Christ. The whole reason He gave you the Holy Spirit was so that you could stay on that path, that you could have that power, that you could have that love. I mean, think about that. That verse there. I keep praying over that verse to keep thinking about it. He did not give me the spirit of fear, timidity. I'm not supposed to be all nervous about this world. I shouldn't be ashamed. I look at this world, I shouldn't be like, what would they think? God's given me power. Jesus Christ came and died so I could have power. What kind of power? So that I can have love. The love that Jesus Christ died, that love is there. You see, that same love that He said, listen, He's looking, there He is on the cross, and He's saying, Father, forgive them. That's the kind of love. That's the kind of love the world should be seeing in us. Not this love that says, listen, I really like you, but you hit me, so I don't like you anymore. No, it says that, you know what, it doesn't matter. You have no idea. Christ forgave me of so much. How could I hold this one thing against you? In self-control, we look at Jesus. He had the perfect ability to stop it all. He created this universe. You think He couldn't have just said, you know what, God, I don't know. Let's just forget this. Let me get off the cross. I'll come up there. Let's have a little meeting. I don't think this is going to work. No, He had the self-control to say, you know what? No, it's not about me. It's all about God. And He looks down at these people spitting at Him, cursing at Him, and says, you know what? I'm dying for you. I have the full control and ability to end all of this, to end all of your lives. But it doesn't matter, because this power, this love has consumed me that I have to have this self-control. I can't do this. It's all about God. Even Christ, you look at Him. He wanted nothing for Himself. What did He say at the garden, right? Not my will, but your will be done. It's all about God. These are faithful men. These are men that take this inner work within them and they share it. Paul wanted Timothy to understand it's going to be tough. It's going to be hard. Things are going to be rough. Be faithful to the end. You see there also that these men need to be able to teach others. The end of verse 2. And we looked at the many witnesses. Paul was reminding him there. Take out this letter. You know, Timothy had to probably sit there and reread this letter a couple of times. He's pulling out 1 Timothy, you know, reading through it again, saying, all right, especially after Paul was killed. He's holding these things close to himself. What are we to pass on? What was our memory verse? Anyone know the memory verse? 12, right? Which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, right? Because I know whom I believe. I know what I believe. I am convinced that He is able to what? Guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. He can guard it. He's got this. What am I passing on? I'm passing on what has been entrusted to me. You have salvation. You have Jesus Christ. You have the Word of God. That's entrusted to you. Do something with it. Don't keep this secret. You know, so many folks like to jump on the example of saying it's like having a cure for cancer and not telling people. No, it's like having a cure for hell and not telling you. Cancer is nothing compared to hell. Eternity? Suffering? There's nothing on this earth that compares to it. If you stop and dwelled and thought about what hell was, you couldn't help but tell people. This has been entrusted to me. I need to pass this on. We'll see later on, verse 16 and 17. It was in our quiet time the other day. Avoid irreverent babble, for it will lead more people into more and more ungodliness. Their talk will spread like gangrene. Don't get involved with some of these silly discussions. You know, don't let them lead you down that path. Steve, we were talking about that the other day, right? Some people come and they just keep trying to drag you. Well, what about this about the Bible? What about this? They won't understand anything until they understand the cross. It's foolishness to them. We went through multiple verses. It's foolishness. They won't understand why. They can't. They don't have the inner working of the Holy Spirit within them like you do. So many of us look at the disciples and say, well, look at all these mistakes. They didn't have the Holy Spirit yet. Don't get us so proud, think that you would have done differently. You have the Holy Spirit and you still mess up. You've got power, self-control, and love, and we're still messing up. Folks, it's we got to be careful. We need to be able to teach. Don't get focused in on these things. Focus in on the majors. Make sure our young people understand the cross. Make sure our people understand why do we come to church. So many young people don't even get it. They don't see the point. Do you even know why? See, folks, the church is weak. If a church is weak, it's more than likely it's because the leadership is weak. If you see a strong church, it's very likely it's led by strong, faithful men that are able to teach. That's why. And they're not because they're able to teach this fancy knowledge and wisdom, because they're able to teach the Word of God. It's because they know the Word of God. Folks, Listen, we're going to come together here every Sunday, and I feel led and tugging of the God that I will not stop expositing the Word of God. I can't. You won't come here and find 7 points to be a great dad. You know why? Because if you don't understand the Word of God, you won't be a great dad. You don't know how to be a dad until you understand Jesus Christ. When you understand Jesus Christ, you're going to stop and look back and say, all right, Jesus Christ, how did He do this? How did He live His life? That's how you understand dad. That's how you understand to be a husband. You look at God and His working of Jesus and what that came together. A marriage. Pete and Kendra, hi. Just a marriage, how beautiful that is. That's a beautiful example of a man and woman coming together. It's Christ in the church. Right there, putting aside everyone else in the world and saying, no, this is the focus. I mean, it's all over the Word of God. How do you understand these things? Dig into the Word. Understand the Word. This is something we as leaders, we need to be doing this. And you say, well, I'm not a pastor, I'm not a deacon. Folks, if you're a parent, you should be teaching. If you're a grandparent, you should be teaching. If you're a neighbor, Sunday school teacher, folks, we need to teach. This world needs the Word of God. Next, we went right from teachers, he goes into soldiers. Soldiers. Paul starts, he says, right there, share in suffering. He's saying that I'm suffering, Timothy. I am suffering. I get this. I get that the ministry is hard. I know. Paul gave us a beautiful list there. He went through it all. Timothy's not going to even touch what Paul went through. He's saying share in suffering. Folks, that makes us need to also remember that, you know what, I mentioned it in Sunday school. Right now in China, the persecution is on the rise. It's getting worse and worse and worse. We need to be praying for our brothers and sisters in the Lord. You need to be remembering them during the week. When you get up and you just open your Bible and you relax and have your cup of coffee, remember that they're hiding in a basement somewhere. Remember that they're in jail because they told a friend about Christ while you're sitting there at work terrified to even mention Jesus' name. They did it. We need to remember them. You can go on Voices of the Martyrs and you can even look up. There's cards that you can write, and there's people that are willing to take the chance and deliver these cards to people in prison so that they can be encouraged. That there's someone outside there praying for them. Press on. Press on. We need to remember them. And what does he say? What kind of soldier does he want him to be? Not just any soldier, but a good soldier. A good soldier. What is a good soldier? A good soldier understands that, you know what? There's a cause that I'm here for. And if it costs my life, I'm doing it. That's a good soldier. A good soldier does not run away when it gets tough. A good soldier does not see things, bullets flying at him, and just get hightail it and run out of there and say, no, this is not what I signed up for. He understands that when he enlisted and he got on there, the sole purpose was to do whatever the one who was in charge tells him to do. Whether he agrees with it or not, he's a good soldier. He presses forward. The sergeant says, you move forward. It doesn't matter what you think. If he wanted to know what you think, he would ask, right? You press on. You push forward. He's a good soldier. Ephesians 6, 10, 11, 12, and 13, up in the screen. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might. Put on the armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against, withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand firm. Folks, you read something like that, and I know we don't want to think like that. We don't want to think that this is a big fight, this is a battle. But reality is, folks, it is. It's all over the Word of God. Jesus said, they hated me, they're going to hate you. The only reason we have it the way we do is because we have a small utopia in America. We do. We have this great land, this great freedom. I know it's on attack. I know it's a mess. But honestly, I look around and I say, we still got it. We still got it. We're just not using it. It's like having the greatest power and ability there, and it's just sitting there. We've got it. We've got the freedom to go out. Yeah, they're going to make fun of you. Yeah, but it's nothing. You don't have to worry about being put up broadcast on TV and decapitated. We don't have to worry about that. We could go downtown Albany tomorrow and just preach the gospel. Oh, what's the word? They might spit at you. They might make fun of you. But a soldier understands that, you know what? This is not a 9-to-5 job. He signs up. He's enlisted. It's 24/7. There's no, hey, we got to go out to battle. And he says, well, it's the middle of the night. I'll take care of it in the morning. There's no such thing. A soldier understands it's 24/7. He even understands that as we see our men and women, they get leave. They get time to go see family. You know what? If battle happens, that ends. You're allowed to have some leave. You're allowed to have that. But when the battle calls, you go. Again, it's mindset of a soldier. How did Paul press on? How did Paul have this focus? Because this is how he thought. He was okay. He understood that, you know, I'm going to go visit these people. I'm going to commune with them. And boom, he's arrested. He's thrown in jail. It didn't surprise him. He understood that, you know what, we're fighting against more than just flesh and blood, folks. There's evil powers. There's cosmic powers out there wanting to destroy the church. But the gates of hell will not prevail. And I know, you look around the world. You look around our nation and you say, I don't know, it looks pretty bad. It looks like Satan's doing a pretty good job. He means the church. The parent church, it's not just the Baptist church, the Presbyterian. He's not saying that. It's the church, the invisible church, the church we don't even see. That church will not be stopped. That's the church that's hiding underground in China. That's the church that's over in Iraq, says, I don't care. Blow our building down. I don't care. We'll meet in this parking lot. We don't need a building. We'll just meet in a car. We'll stand in the streets. We're going to come together. Why? Because we can't forsake the gathering together. Because we need to encourage each other. Because tomorrow we might die. Tomorrow I might be grabbed. I may be tortured. I need encouragement today. They get it. And folks, and honestly, and I pray, and we talked about it in Sunday school, I pray that we don't have to go through that before we learn it. My prayer every Wednesday night when we come together here is while we're on our knees in these front pews crying out to God, I'm just praying that this nation, that it'll start right here in Gilderland, that it will just wake up and we will not have to have our teeth kicked in before we wake up. That it'll just be the awesome work of the Holy Spirit, that people are not so hard-hearted, that people get serious and say, you know what, life is too short, I've got to live it for God. I'm just praying that. And I'm praying that it doesn't take this persecution before this nation wakes up. But it is disheartening as we look around. We think that people are going to wake up. And Kathy, you asked me that. Scared you. You know, after things happen over in the world, we think that, oh, this next Sunday the church should be packed. But people see those things and they think, oh, it's not in my yard. It's not happening to me. I mean, when do people cry out to the Lord? When they're in their hospital bed. I mean, it seems like they got to be right there before they're going to even listen. And then if they make it out of that bed, well, look at what I did. You know, look at it. I got through it. Good to go. We need to be soldiers. We need to be good soldiers. And lastly there, we need to have a focus. We need to have a right aim. This literally means, the word means of weeds. We need to be right with God. Luke 9, Jesus said this. He just tells it to him straight. 56, he says, they went to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said, hey, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said, foxes have holes, birds have the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. To another, he said, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said, nah, leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Yet another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go say goodbye to those in my home. And Jesus said, no one who puts his hand at a plow looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. We read verses like that and we think, that's so harsh. That's so crazy. But folks, this is it. This is the ministry. It is hard. It is harsh at times. It weighs heavy on your pastors. It weighs heavy on the leadership of the church. It weighs heavy. Paul said that I'm going through all this persecution, but the greatest thing is that just the burden of the churches. You say, what? See, the guy was beaten. He was shipwrecked. That's horrible. He said, no, it's the churches. Just praying that the apostasy doesn't get in there. I'm just praying that the church gets serious. I'm just praying that people get it. That my prayer is that Monday through Saturday, you guys will do this. That this isn't the only time your book is open. This isn't the only time you're looking at the Word of God. That right through the week, you're going through this. We can't allow ourselves, he says there, to become entangled with civilian pursuits. We can't get involved. 2 Peter 2:20-22. For if after they have escaped the defilements of the world, through the knowledge of our Lord Jesus, Savior Jesus Christ, so one has come to Christ here. They are again entangled in them, overcome. The last state has become worse than the first. For it would have been better for them never to have known the way of righteousness than knowing it and then turn back to the holy commandment delivered to them. What the true proverb says is this, right? What happened to them? The dog returns to its own vomit, and the sow, after washing herself, returns to the wallow in the mire. I mean, that's it's better to have never even went to Christ than to go to Christ and then turn your back on Him. Don't you dare enlist in this army. Don't you dare enlist and become a soldier and then say, you know, well, I only want this much. Peter's telling him, listen, you're like a dog returning to vomit. It's disgusting. You've tasted the things of Christ. You've tasted these things of God. And yet you're enticed by the things of this world. How could you do that? How could you have all of this and leave this to go there? You know, our thought, our mind should be Matthew 25:21. It says, his master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enjoy. Enter into the joy of your master. I mean, folks, listen, I know most of us here, as we talked about last week, that you're not a Paul. You're not a Timothy. But maybe you're an Onesiphorus. Maybe you're just that individual that's going to make sure that the leadership is refreshed. Maybe you're that individual that's going to make sure, you're going to take time and write those letters and encourage our missionaries. You're going to encourage those people that are being persecuted. You're just going to refresh people. All of this is important, folks. There is nothing. Honestly, you think about your body, the body. You think, well, the little toe. I mean, who really needs it? Remove it. Let me know. I like my little toe. I think he has a purpose. I'm leaving him there. He may seem minor to you, but I like him. Okay, there's nothing on your body you think that, well, it's so minor, you know, it's just a small part, I don't need it. I mean, your eye's pretty small. You're not going to pluck that out, right? I mean, there's nothing, something seems small, but it plays a big part. We're the body, folks. We need to come together. We need to encourage one another. Even as the soldiers, we know that. You hear stories of men and women when they're out at battle, it's the camaraderie. When they come home, they're tighter than their own family was. Because they went through battle together. They saw the worst of the worst, and they saw it together, and they walked out together. They're together. That's how it ought to be here. That's how it ought to be amongst the church. The whole church of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 4:22, put off that old self, which belongs to the former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires. Don't just put it off. Just get rid of it. And listen, and God doesn't expect you to do it on your own. If you've accepted Jesus Christ, okay, if you haven't, you won't be able to do it. I promise you, you will not be able to put off the old self. If you're struggling with it, then repent and turn to Christ right now. Don't worry about, well, I did this or someone told me I did that. Get right with Christ. Don't bank your salvation on somebody told me so. It's not going to work when you get to the gates. Promise you. Make sure you know you have a right relationship with Jesus Christ. Repent and turn to Christ. And then after that, if you find yourself getting entangled with the world, get on your knees and cry out to God and beg Him to help you and remove these things. Don't just sit in there and hope that you don't make the wrong decision. Remove yourself. Get away from these things. A soldier can't get entangled with the things of the world. He needs to stay focused. His aim needs to be at what he's sent to do. So today we focus on the teacher and the soldier. And folks, this is not multiple choice. This is what we're supposed to do. We're going to go over the athlete. We're going to go over the farmer. There's not, oh, well, I'll be a farmer. You be a teacher. No, we all are. We all ought to be teachers. We all ought to be soldiers. We all ought to be athletes. And we all ought to be farmers. This is the mindset we're talking about here. It's serious. Yes, you may not be a Sunday school teacher, but you ought to be teaching somebody. You shouldn't just sit on this stuff. Get it out to somebody. God doesn't want you just dabbing in the Word. He wants you swimming in it, and He wants you sharing it. Share it with someone. And a soldier, I know we don't want to think about fighting, but as we saw in Ephesians, it is. It's a 24/7. If you're telling me you're not fighting, then you're just not safe. Honestly, I mean, because I tell you what, every day it's a battle. You get up and you make wrong decision after one another, and you're just wondering why. And even Paul said it. The things I want to do, I don't do. The things I do want to do, I don't. It's a battle with the flesh. How are we going to fight this fight? We need to get serious. We need to get that right mindset and understand, I got to put the armor on. I need to get my nose in the book. I need to sit there in Ephesians 6 and say, okay, am I doing this? Do I have the helmet on? Do I have the breastplate on? Are my feet shod? Am I serious about these things? Do I have the truth right here? Am I tied up with the truth? Do I understand these things? Folks, the earth is there. The world is there. And I like how C.S. Lewis put it. If you aim at heaven, okay, you will get earth thrown in. But if you stay focused at earth, you'll get neither. You'll get neither. It's amazing how Jesus Christ works in our lives. Our life is good when we're following Christ. It's great. It really is. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your word. God, I thank you for the inner working you're doing in lives. I thank you for the so many groups, small groups that are going on in this church, the seriousness as people dive into the scriptures. I thank you, God, that you don't expect us to do this on our own. I thank you, God, that you gave us the power. You gave us love and you gave us self-control. Lord, let us not give you any excuse. And God, I beg you, God, to help us. As a father myself, Lord, I pray that I would be sure to teach and guide my children well. And God, I pray that this church would work with me and make sure that we are setting an example for our children. That these children would look and see that what is going on during the worship, what goes on during the offering, that God, they see that this is serious. This is not just something we do. This is our life, God. You are our life. And God, I pray that you would just call on each individual here. Help them figure out where they ought to be. Lord, let them not tell you where they want to be, but God, just tug on them and put them right where you want them. We thank you, God, for your word. We thank you for the blessing of this time. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.